the fact that...
Oh, go ahead, no.
The fact that the county administrator's contract would expire, I believe, tomorrow?
Yeah, well, and I'll make a motion and that we renew the county administrator's contract, and we extend it to June 30th, 2010.
Second motion.
Because his contract, it was actually up tomorrow?
A motion and a second to renew the county...
And nobody knew it.
To renew the county administrator's contract till...
Some of us did.
June 30th, 2010. Is there any further discussion?
I'm very glad he's willing to stay. Very happy.
All right. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
I'm glad Mr. Vincent reminded us that yes, I'll be yes.
And I'd certainly echo Ms. Deaver's sentiments, and I know I speak for the entire council, but we feel very blessed to have you serving us in this capacity, and you're doing a wonderful job.
Is there any, like, June 30th, is that the day the legislature up there goes through, like, their all-night thing, and
yes.
We might come up short, and you could be getting away with...
Motion carried.
I don't know if there's any kind of reason for that.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate the support of the council. I appreciate the support of our staff, because our staff does an excellent job, and they make county government what it is, and we're not always right, but we do the best we can. I sincerely appreciate your support. I look forward to working with you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It is far past the time that we can begin our public hearings. I apologize to those who have had patience up to this point. I'll turn the meeting over to our county attorney. He'll explain the process and begin the hearings.
The process, for those who may not have attended one of these hearings before, is that when the hearing starts, we give the number of the conditional use and the name of the applicant. And Mr. Lank, who is the Director of Planning and Zoning, will tell council what happened at the time this matter was before the Planning and Zoning Commission. After Mr. Lank does that, council has an opportunity to ask him any questions so they'll understand what the application is that's before them. After that happens, we then call on the applicant in each case, as each case is heard, to come forward, state their name, give their address, and tell the council the reason for the application and why they believe the application should be approved. After each applicant does that, we'll ask whether there's anyone else present who has an objection or a question or a concern about the application. If so, they will be recognized and allowed to come forward and speak. And if there's more than one, we'll ask that people speak in turn and give everybody a chance. If there's two sides to the issue after both sides have been heard, then council will decide what action to take or whether to act at all. If the commission deferred action and didn't yet act, council waits until they get the recommendation of the commission before council acts. If you have a cell phone, please turn it off or turn it to silent service. Does anyone have any questions about the procedure? Mr. Lank is not in the room, I suppose.
He must have gone to get some, because his box is here.
Okay, well, here he is. Mr. Lank, could you tell us about the first application?
I left my ghostwriter here.
I had everything here except what I needed.
First application is conditional use number 1765. An application of Rick and Judy Folmsby to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a multifamily dwelling structure, proposing three units to be located on a certain parcel of land, lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 38,054 square feet, more or less lying southwest of Route 226, also known as Orchard Road, 0.6 miles southeast of Route 16. For the benefit of council, I pass down copies of survey and the site plan for this application.
Mm-hmm.
The public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission was held on January 22nd of 2009. We heard comments from DelDOT, the Sussex Conservation District. The commission was provided with the same survey showing the improvements on the property. Mr. Fulmsby was present and gave presentation. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Smith stated he may make a recommendation that the commission defer action for further consideration to allow for Mr. Burton to review the file and record and to participate in the vote on this application. Mr. Johnson stated he would not have an objection to the application if the use is limited to family members. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to defer action on this application. Just for additional information, the units already exist. They've existed for several years. There are three units within the dwelling structure. They are not in the separate buildings. They are in the one structure. I did receive one additional comment. It is the comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We were advised that they gave consideration to this application. They make reference to the location, the number of units. The site is located in the North Coastal Planning Area. It makes reference that an individual on-site septic system is proposed. That conformity to the North Coastal Planning Area or undertaking an amendment will be required. That the proposed project is not in an area where Sussex County currently plans to provide sewer service. Therefore, a concept plan is not required, and that information was provided by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. The applicant in his presentation gave testimony that there are three kitchens in the dwelling, and that they have approval for a modified septic system, and it was approved through DENREC for total of five bedrooms, and they do not exceed five bedrooms. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Does council have any questions for Mr. Lang?
I'm just wondering why they deferred it. Did they say what they were looking for, more information? Or?
No, they deferred it because Mr. Burton, who is the commission member for that general area.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Was absent.
Okay,
and
good.
They would like to, he would have the choice to listen to the record, okay. Look at the files, et cetera, before, and then he could participate in the vote.
Gotcha.
Any other questions? Go ahead, Mr. Griffin.
Are the Fulmsbys present tonight? Would you both like to speak, or will one be the? Okay.
Name is Rick Fulmsby. Address is 21138 Orchard Road in Allendale. House is in existence, as Mr. Lang spoke. We've been using it it's a very large house, about 3,300 square feet under roof. My mom lived in one portion of it. My daughter and grandsons are now living in another portion of it. And my wife and I live in the center of it. My brother-in-law happens to work for Mr. Lank in a capacity of a building inspector and suggested we come and get a conditional use. And that's why we're here. We applied approximately 2 years ago, and going through the process and brought us to this moment.
Okay. And are the three... do the three living units each have separate amenities that make them a complete living
unit? Yes. Okay. Yes. It gave us complete privacy. The portion where my daughter lives right now is what they call the Greenwood Nanticoke home, which is the smallest portion of Nanticoke when they were building back in the 80s. The other portion was a stick built that was built specifically for my mom as an apartment. And this center portion, it was actually the garages that we've since converted many, many years ago.
Both garages are used as living quarters?
Yes. Well, there is an exterior garage.
Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, a detached garage?
No, that's not living quarters. That's okay. Just garage, workshop.
You have plenty of parking?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, the septic situation, the state is going to...
No, it's already passed. That's
you're already passed. So what you have?
10 years old. We've gone all that.
Does the council have any other questions?
There was a note in the minutes from the commission hearing where one commissioner said that he would not have an objection if the use is limited to family members. and it sounds like it is limited. Was he referring to what might happen in the future?
We're in an area that does an awful lot of renting, and I suspect that he was, in fact, as we have rented in the past, we moved out of the house for a period of time and rented it and moved back in. So I suspect that he was looking at the possibility in the future. It appeared that he wanted to keep it just for family, and that's fine.
And is that something you could live with, or do you want to be able to rent it to somebody else?
Given the economic situation of the country right now, I wouldn't mind having the opportunity to rent it if I had to. Right now, I don't need to, and I don't want to. I enjoy the space that we have.
I just wanted to ask, since that was an issue they brought up.
That's fine.
That prompt any questions for anyone else?
Just for the record, I think you stated at the commission hearing that it's one electric facility. It's not separate utilities for each unit. Okay. It's all one. The septic is one system serving all three, as is electric and water.
So that somewhat limits it.
Makes it sort of more limited, yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to bring up, or did your wife wish to speak also?
She's welcome to.
Hey, we're required to ask if there's anyone else here. So is there anything you want to say before we do that?
No, again, the house has been there it's been there since 84, but during the different periods of building. In its current, the way it's built right now, it's been that way for 17 years, and we've been doing this. I mean, in fact, my brother-in-law actually lived there for a period of time. So there's really nothing that's going to change. It's just asking us to be correct. So that's okay. It.
Thank you.
Okay.
Is there anyone here who would like to be heard concerning this application, either in support of the application or in opposition to the application?
Does not appear to be.
Let the record show no one else has to be recognized. I guess this is one where the commission deferred.
Mm-hmm.
That being the case, we are not able to make a decision tonight. I would ask the council if there is someone who would make a motion to defer this.
I will. Yeah.
Okay. I have a motion by Ms. Deaver, a second by Mr. Wilson to defer this until at least.
Vance, I didn't. I'm sorry, I didn't make a motion.
I thought I heard you second it.
No, what I was going to say is I wouldn't have asked for a deferral, to be honest with you.
We have to.
Oh, we do? Yes. It's a procedure.
Mr. Griffin, you want to address that?
We do wait to get the commission's recommendation, except when they take longer than 45 days to give us that recommendation, and it's not yet the 45 days, so we should wait.
We have to wait for the commission?
The regulation gives the commission the opportunity to defer for up to 45 days. We have to make a recommendation with 45 days, or you can assume that the recommendation is approved after 45 days.
And we have not hit that 45 days yet?
No, it's been 2.5 weeks.
Okay. I have a motion. Is there a second to defer?
So moved.
Second by Mr. Cole. Is there any further discussion?
No.
If not, I'll take a vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Mr. Lank, 1767.
1767 is a conditional use application titled Advanced Fiberglass Tech to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a boat repair shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.2 acres more or less, lying south of Route 48, also known as Zor Road, 300 feet east of Route 297, also known as Morris Mill Road. Again, the public hearing on this application was heard on January 22nd. For the benefit of council, I pass down copies of the survey of this property showing the improvements. In the commission's public hearing on this application, we heard comments from DelDOT, the Sussex Conservation District. John Reardon was present on behalf of Advanced Fiberglass Tech and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1767 for Advanced Fiberglass Tech for a conditional use to operate a boat repair business based on the record and for the following reasons. One, this application is for a business that is limited in nature. With the conditions placed upon it, it will not adversely affect traffic or adjacent or neighboring properties. Two, the proposed use meets the purpose of the conditional use ordinance since it will serve the existing needs and convenience of boaters in the area. Three, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the site plan is subject to all appropriate agency approvals. B, the hours of operation will be from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. C, there shall be no more than 15 boats on the site at any given time. A chain link or solid fencing not to exceed 7 feet in height will be installed for the storage of all boats being repaired. D, aside from boats owned by the applicant, there shall not be any boats stored on the property other than those boats that are being worked on as part of the applicant's business. E, no more than 2 boats at a time are to be offered for sale. F, security lighting on the site shall use lights that are directed away from any neighboring properties. G, a non-lighted sign no greater than 32 square feet on each side may be permitted. H, there shall be no more than 2 employees. And I, the final site plan shall be subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The final site plan shall designate the fenced area designated for outside boat storage, and landscaping shall be shown on the final site plan. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 4-0. I did receive one additional agency comment. Again, it's from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. Makes reference to the applicant, the site, and the location, and the intended use. The site is located in the North Coastal Planning Area. An individual on-site septic system is proposed. The project is not capable of being annexed into a county-operated sewer district. Conformity to the North Coastal Planning Study or undertaking an amendment will be required. The proposed project is not in an area where Sussex County currently plans to provide sewer service. Therefore, a concept plan is not required. And that was signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Any questions for Mr. Lang from council?
What's around this this piece of property? What kind of?
There's a couple of dwellings. There's some vacant lots. It's wooded to the rear. There's an agricultural field across the road. If you looked at the little site location map we provided, you see Morris Mill Pond.
Yes.
And parcel number one was formerly a small mobile home park. The majority of those units have been removed.
But it's all residential then?
Primarily residential.
Is there any restrictive covenants in it, Lawrence?
No, none that we found.
What would be the closest, Lawrence, other conditional use possibly or commercial activity or anything close by? I go around there a lot and I'm trying to recollect.
If you're sitting at the intersection of 48 being Zor Road and 297 Morris Mill Road, and we're taking left towards Georgetown, where you see the big white area to the left of the site location map,
is that
a conditional use that used to be, it's for a bearing
contractor.
A bearing business. It used to be a contractor. Right. It was for...
What was his name? I forget. Anyway, I know you. I know.
It's a bearing company that was the second conditional use on that site.
Okay.
And then you have a subdivision, Morris Mill Estates, after that.
Is there any? Are we aware of any deed restrictions against commercial activity? Because it is a subdivision.
No, we found none.
Huh?
Found none on this site.
Actually looked and.
Right.
Okay.
And of course, everybody was notified within 100 feet of.
Within 200 feet.
200 feet.
Right.
Okay.
Now, again, that's a courtesy, but we do it.
Now, the other question, Lawrence or Jim, either one of you, where we see the title, and the title being stated that it's a conditional use for a boat repair shop. And it seems like some of the conditions have expanded on uses. Is there a concern, or should we wait and listen? But I know we looked at, there's talk about boat storage, and that actually the planning zoning is allowed now. It's offered boats for sale. None of that was listed in the title, and I know sometimes the title means something, sometimes it doesn't. How would the title of this application and some of the conditions, are they in conflict with one another, possibly?
When you, I can answer that portion, and Jim can correct me if I'm wrong. a lot of cases on this type of business, they have to basically like foreclose on somebody to make payment. They have to take over the vehicles. Typically, the boats have the same problem, and they would give him the right to sell that boat.
Yes.
A lot of used car dealers have to go through that.
I know, but used car dealer. Okay. I'll just.
It's the same with boats.
Shopkeepers.
Go ahead. All right. Go ahead. Listen. We'll hear.
Mr. Wilson, Mr. Vincent.
No
question. Continue.
Is the applicant here today, Mr. Reardon, or tonight? Come forward, sir.
I don't know that Mr. Reardon's seen these conditions. We'll provide him with a copy.
Thank you.
At some point, Mr. Reardon, you probably want to look through those because I'm sure you'll be asked whether you can live with those conditions.
Mm-hmm. Most of those conditions came from his testimony.
Okay. Okay. Well, first, I'm John Reardon. Address is 24594 Zor Road. I do the fiberglass repair work at the facility in question. And I have been in the location since 2004 and done a lot of improvements to the house next door where I live. So up to this point, I have a lot of investment into the area. And I'm willing, like I talked with the last group here, that to have conditions on what I do so I don't disturb anyone around me. The neighbors all around the area are very familiar with me, and they approve of me what I'm doing. I help them a lot when they have issues and like lawnmowers to be repaired or whatnot. So all the conditions that you just read out, I'm perfectly fine with. If there's not any problem, I just hope that everyone's happy with what I'm doing.
Okay, we'll see if the council has any issues. Ms. Deaver?
Okay.
Is anybody here, any of your neighbors are here today?
No.
One's here today?
I've mentioned to them about the hearings and stuff, but, they said unless I asked them to please come and ask them to do a letter or something like that, they said they don't feel it's necessary. If it was any problem, they'd be more than happy to come.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to burden them with having to come up here if they didn't have to.
So what prompted you to apply?
Well, I know what I do is not zoned for what is, taking place there exactly, but...
Sussex County zoning.
Yeah.
You start the business.
It's all, it's about zoning, exactly.
Run the business for a while, then
and,
you get your
and
zoning.
It's a very small operation. I'm the only person that does any work. I don't have 5, 6, 10 people working there.
Okay.
It's just myself and my wife. She does the office work. I do the hands-on work. And there's no one else working on the facility, and mm-hmm. I have no plans on having that. I even told them that I'd be willing to put that in a condition that I'm not allowed to have any employees. That's how small we are.
Some of the conditions, he just stated it, but the employees, the commission added, with the assumption that the business might improve or get better. And the same way with the boat sales was trying to interpret what other businesses have reported to us on other projects where they had to sell a boat because they couldn't get payment for the improvements that they made to the boat.
But Lawrence, isn't it possible that if that was the case, that he could take the boat to some place that's more commercial? Because my concern is this is a residential area, and lots in a residential subdivision, and it seems like you're trying to paint the picture that you're real small, which I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And Planning and Zoning Commission has added and made it appear to me not so small, like 15 boats on site. In a residential neighborhood seems excessive to me. I hate to say it.
Well, if you can see the layout of the area where the fenced-in area is going to be, I don't know how much it shows on that drawing right there, you can actually get a lot of boats in a small area. They're very close together, and they're not that big of boats. When boats get to a certain size, they're not trailable, and I go to marinas and do them. If I went over to – I got to a point where I had a number of boats, and this has never happened where someone couldn't pay and I had to sell a boat, which never happened. A lot of times they come to me with the boats, and they want to repair them to get them cleaned up, and they're just looking to sell them, I've put one or two out there, and they have sold really quick. It's a high traffic area, but I would I have a good rapport with all the marinas in the area. And if I had an issue where I started to accumulate too much stuff, more than likely a lot of them would be happy to take boats on consignment.
Here's the other caveat to the conditional use. It goes with the land, not you. So you could live there a few years and get tired of it and sell it to a friend of yours who isn't so conscientious as you with your neighbors and the boats and everything else. So it just concerns me that we have a residential area in a residential subdivision, and 15 boats seems excessive to me.
Well, you know, that's one thing I thought was different. I thought the conditional use went with me and not the land. And when I left, if someone wanted to do auto body repair work or something like that, they'd have to get
change
conditional
use
from them.
But somebody could do a similar use.
A similar use.
And have employees have 15 boats, store boats. It doesn't say, it just sounds to me like you could, doesn't say that these boats, Lawrence, the way it's worded, have to be boats that he's going to work on. He could actually store boats. Is that my reading of that?
Well, they're being stored to be repaired. That's what probably the wording should be, because I don't store boats for people for pay. I mean, that's marinas do that, and it's very inexpensive to do. The boats that are there, that they were referring to being stored there, are just waiting for me to get to them, and once I get done, they leave. So I've never had up to 15 boats up to this point, even at one time in 2 years. So if you want to lower it, I don't have a problem with that, because if that seems excessive to you.
Well, it does to me. I don't know about the rest of them, but I go by there a lot. And once we allow you to do your little commercial operation, we set a precedent for the others.
Yeah. I understand.
Your neighbors. So we could either have, you know, more of these, and then we could have, you know, either eyesores or traffic problems or whatever problems comes. And the residential nature has been disrupted. And
in my district, I'm getting complaints right now that people are doing this on their property in residential areas. Mm-hmm. I'm getting complaints from the neighbors because boats are stored on the property and they're objecting to it. So, I guess if your neighbors...
It's hard to cut grass around boats that are stored. I mean, just sometimes they get...
I guess the word stored sounds like it's sitting there for a long, long, lengthy length of time.
No.
These are not stored, and they're stored while it's waiting for me to work on it, which is usually within a couple weeks.
Well, that's what I'm getting complaints about, is the work, too, and the noise and the work. You know, so, but I guess out where you live, I mean, I guess I could start repairing
a little bit out there.
Where I live, in my house.
All right, we'll continue to get comment from the council.
Okay.
Mr. Vinson, Mr. Cole, are you finished?
I'm
Vinson, have you thoughts?
No, I would be if council.
Sir,
could you, Mr. Reardon?
Come on back.
We're
not done with it yet.
You
can't get off that easy.
You started to ask questions amongst yourselves. I'm sorry.
No.
The only comment I would have is that I don't disagree with Councilman Cole. I mean, I would have no problem if he feels that number needs to be lower than 15, but other than that, I'm fine.
Mr. Wilson?
I have no complaints. None.
Okay.
Now, may I ask Mr. Reardon a question?
Yes, you may. Questions. Mr. Griffin, thank you.
Mr. Reardon, you said that you would not have an issue with lowering the number of boats and putting a provision that it would be stated that the boats that were stored there were boats waiting to be worked on. Did I understand that correctly?
That's correct.
Is there any suggestion that you have as to what council might consider if it were to consider a lower number of boats? What could you live with?
At this point, the most I've had there at one time waiting to be worked on was 12. So, I mean, if you wanted to do 12, 10 or 12, I'd be happy with that.
Are you okay with a condition waiting
and
to
I
be
can
worked
just con-
on?
What I would do is just control how the boats are brought to me. If I got up to that limit of 10 or 12, whatever was already on my property and somebody was wanting to bring it, I'd tell them, just arrange for them to bring it at a time when I know some other boats are going out.
Okay.
So I can control that number of boats.
Okay. And the condition E, no more than two boats at a time are to be offered for sale.
Well, see, I don't even like, I think I finish? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
What would be your response if we added, provided that the boat sales are for the purpose of satisfying an unpaid debt for the work performed by the applicant?
Jim, let me just, can I cut in here a minute?
Yeah.
The applicant stated in his testimony that he had no intention to sell boats. It was Lawrence who suggested that the commission said, well, we're kind of familiar with other operations like that. They might have a problem. So they put that in. He didn't even want to sell boats there. And that's part of the problem when you ride around this county. You got guys who are putting cars out and, you know, in these residential areas and now boats and stuff. And it just, if he's going to work on boats, let him work on boats. And that should be his primary emphasis there. But it's expanded a little more than it's getting too commercial, and it's a residential neighborhood. This is conditional use is an overlay. It's a permit to do something that's not normally allowed.
Spot zoning.
But it's still a residential neighborhood. So I think that we, you know, 15 boats, 12 boats, 10 boats, and then boats for sale. I mean,
maybe we could ask him if he's ever had to sell one to collect.
Well, he said. He says, I.
Yeah, I've had some, I think in the past year and a half, probably like two boats that sold out front there. Sometimes the boats are.
But they weren't boats that were left to you that the guys didn't pay the bills? Were they
no, they weren't left there. They were actually, one of the boats was for people I worked on their boat, and they were looking to sell it and get a smaller boat.
Right.
And
you gave them an opportunity.
And sometimes the boats are, I've had people call me up and just say, look, we have an old boat on our property. Would you be interested in it? And I fixed the boat up and restored part of the boat a little bit and then put it out there just for sale.
Different from the way we got to why we should sell boats. I don't think it's a suitable place to sell boats.
And I can keep, if I can actually keep those in the fenced area with the boats or maybe and being stored. They could be counted as the 10 or 15 boats, and people can come into the fenced in area. They don't need to be out on the road being an eyesore.
To bring order to this discussion, I'm going to ask for motions. Let me try to take these issues one at a time. First, we have the issue of the number of boats. Mr. Cole, would you like to make a motion to address the number of boats so that we can...
If there's a consensus to reduce it to 10 boats, I guess.
And that's a motion. Could I ask for a second?
Yeah.
Second on that. Okay, I have a motion and a second to reduce the number of boats to 15. Mr. Griffin, let me ask you this before I open up for discussion. Is it appropriate for us to try to define this at this point, or would you prefer that we have public comment first?
Well, we do need to, even though Mr. Reardon doesn't think there's anyone here, for the record, we have to make that request and allow anyone who is here an opportunity to speak. Could we...
Okay, I would ask that the motion and second be withdrawn.
Oh, sure.
Until after the public comment.
Okay. So hang tight there.
Has anybody asked for you to screen the area from your neighbors?
Anyone asked me to screen?
No, I don't see any screening brought up here.
I don't really know what the screening...
Visual screening, any kind of...
It's prepared in a condition.
Oh, like a fenced in area, you mean?
Chain link fence.
That's one of the things
I'm talking about shrubbery or some kind of...
Oh, landscaping. Yeah, there's some landscaping that started, and I would plan on doing more. That would be on the outside of the fenced in area.
All right, good.
Behind us all.
Good, gotcha. Okay.
Okay, you can have a seat. We'll see if there's public comment.
Is there anyone here who would like to be heard concerning this application? Let the record show that no one asked to be recognized. I think it's appropriate now to proceed to talk about the issues.
Would you like to close the public hearing?
We will close the public hearing.
Okay. At this point, I'm going to re-entertain the motion to reduce the boat number to 10. Mr. Cole, you make that motion. Ms. Deaver?
I'll make that motion.
Second. I have a motion and a second. Reduce the number of boats to 10. And I'll now open it up for discussion. Ms. Deaver, do you have anything else to add?
No, I don't.
Mr. Vincent?
No.
Mr. Wilson?
I have a problem with this. We have no neighbors to come and complain. Everybody here is happy.
It's a residential area.
And Mrs. Deaver, how far do you live in this man?
Just a minute.
It really bothers you some.
Mr. Wilson has the floor. Please give him the respect he's due.
It just bugs me that we have to sit here and make regulations. I mean, after all, the man says he's had as many as 12 on here. We want to go to 10. We have no complaints from anybody. And yet we're up here trying to make a big deal out of nothing. Nothing. It just bugs me. Why does this county council have to do something about nothing? When your neighbors don't want to do nothing about it, they're happy. What the heck are we trying to do here? That's my complaint.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Mr. Cole?
No, I think because it's a residential neighborhood, it's actually Millwood Estates or Millwood whatever subdivision. And I think we need to protect the integrity of the residential zoning, and people who live along there may not, all of them, I'm sure maybe the immediate neighbors don't have any problem with it, but 200 feet in the country in rural areas isn't a whole lot of distance, and maybe people just don't like to come in. But anyway... The residential area, I think, should trump the commercial. If they want to do a full-fledged commercial activity there, they ought to go for a change of zone, not a conditional use.
Are there any other comments from council before I call the vote?
Was this advertised that this was going to be a hearing tonight? Wasn't it advertised?
Yes, it was.
Now, these people all know, and their neighbors know this. Where are we coming, George, that you're protecting these people when they're happy themselves?
Sam, give your reasons. Just give your reasons and don't worry about George.
Well, this is my reason.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to call for the vote. Ms. Deaver, you're voting on the number of boats being reduced to 10.
Yeah, I think that's more reasonable than the 15. Yes, I'll vote yes on that.
Mr. Vincent?
No.
Mr. Wilson?
No. For the reason, I don't think we should be poking other people's business when the neighbors and everybody's happy about it. Leave it alone.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes.
I vote no. Unless there's another motion to address the number of votes, I'll entertain that now.
No, I got another one, though.
Just a minute, Mr. All Cole.
Right. Oh,
I would like to make a motion that we change the number of votes to 12.
Okay. I have a motion to change it to 12. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to change the number of votes to 12. Discussion, Ms. Deaver?
No, I have no discussion. I'm ready for vote.
Mr. Vincent?
No.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Cole?
No.
Okay. I'm going to call for the vote. Ms. Deaver,
change
the number of votes to 12.
Yes, I believe the applicant stated that was the maximum that he had, and he was satisfied with that, and I'm satisfied with it, and yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you, gentlemen, and Mrs. Deaver.
Mr. President.
Okay, Mr. Cole?
I wouldn't mind addressing the, wait a minute, let me find it here, which number it is. The boats for sale?
E.
Again, my point is it is a residential area. It is not even advertised in the heading. And I think he stated he has connections with a lot of the boat dealers, and there's plenty of places to take boats for sale, and I don't think this is, again, an appropriate place to sell boats.
Okay. Can you reduce that motion to a sentence?
I would make the motion that we strike E.
Okay. Is there a second to strike
second.
E? There's a second to strike E, and I'll open it for discussion. Ms. Deaver?
I think it would be more reasonable for the boats for sale to be in a marina setting, and you know, he's applied for a conditional use as a boat repair shop, and that is, you know, that doesn't include boat sales.
Okay. Mr. Griffin, if I may ask a question, by eliminating E, does that also eliminate any sale of boats?
Well, there's no inclusion in the title for a purpose involving anything other than repair.
So the answer is yes.
That's my thought. You
okay.
Can ask Mr. Lank if he has any different thought.
By eliminating E, it also eliminates the potential of any boat sales, correct?
It would.
Okay. Mr. Vincent, have you any thoughts?
Well, I guess the one thing that bothers me is the fact that he said it hasn't happened before, but if it does happen, if he's got somebody's boat there, and for whatever reason they can't pay him, he's going to try to sell the boat to get his money. Mm-hmm. What happens now? Where's he going to have to take the boat somewhere around space? Or
no, I think he should be able to do that.
What he could do if he had a lien that was unpaid for repair work is that he would go to court, get a judgment, and the court could still do a sale even if you don't have that on there. It's like a workman's lien.
I feel he needs to have the ability,
yes,
if something does go bad,
mm-hmm,
to recoup his money by selling the boat. And the concern I would have, if I were him, is these things are trailerable. If you can't sell the boat on your property and you trailer that thing, what's to say the guys are going to just get the trailer and go on with the boat and then you don't get anything back?
That's right. That's right.
He can still go to court and get a judgment.
Yeah, but I mean, I just think it makes sense to me that we should be able to somehow, he can sell a boat for where the term,
yes,
would be, I like a lien, to satisfy a lien, that would be the correct term, a lien. I'm asking Jim.
That's possible. I, in fact, read something like that. It said, provided the sale is to satisfy an unpaid debt for work performed by the applicant.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree.
Mr. Wilson, do you have a comment?
I have a comment.
Mr. Cole, do you have anything additional?
I believe that this is a comment.
I'm sorry, Mr. Wilson. I thought you said you didn't have a comment. Go ahead, please.
Excuse me. I said, I do have a comment.
Yes.
As I see those boats sitting up on that yard, about a dozen, I'm riding by. He doesn't have for sale signs out there, and I stop by and want to buy a boat. I want to buy two boats. I don't know where it hurts the property or the value or anything about this. I don't understand these reasonings that you're coming at. You understand what I'm trying to say here? You understand? In other words, there's almost no excuse of saying you can't put a boat out there for sale or two boats out there if there's no for sale. If you don't make a commercial out of it for selling, if you've got the boat out there and I want to stop by and buy one, there is no real reason, no real reason to say that I can't buy that boat. That's my opinion.
Thank you. Mr. Cole, anything else?
It's hard to follow that.
All right. Mr. Vincent?
I would try to say in response is that in the application, the very last thing the gentleman said was he has no intent to sell boats retail.
That's right.
Right.
That's kind of...
He didn't want to sell boats.
He didn't want to sell boats. But I'm trying to protect him from not having to lose money on something he does.
Me too. Yeah.
How we want to word that, I'm not just exactly sure.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor to strike E, which would, in essence, eliminate the potential of boat sales. If we strike E, I would entertain a motion to modify the verbiage to satisfy council's interest. So let us take the vote on E first. Ms. Deaver?
In striking E?
Yes.
Yes, I do. Yes, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
To strike E?
Yes.
To not be able to sell boats?
Correct.
I vote no.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote no. Motion carries. We have struck E. Mr. Vincent, would you like to take a stab at a motion?
Make a motion that
we could ask the attorney to take a stab at it.
I want to see. I'm not sure how I want to word the thing to where he can recoup his money, not to sell this to somebody else or anybody, just to his. If he has a boat there that somebody owes him for, yeah, he can sell that boat on his property.
Would that be one boat at a time when the situation arises, type of thing?
Well,
I mean, you could say, if that was the case, you could say that there shall be no sale of boats other than a sale for the purpose of satisfying an unpaid debt for work performed on the boat by the applicant.
Do you have that, Robin?
I can get it.
That's my motion.
We have a motion as read by Mr. Griffin and recorded by our clerk of the county council.
Second.
In essence, to allow the applicant to sell a boat to recover unpaid debts on the service of that boat.
I'll second the motion.
We have a second. Is there any discussion?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Wilson.
Well, now I sort of think that, you know, it says the old saying, the government can take care of the problem, but really the government is the problem here. Now, what do I mean by this? You know what we're going to do? We're going to hire inspectors, work for the county, and we're going to run them by and check, said, did you work on this boat? Now, if you didn't work on this boat, you can't sell it. But if you did work on it, you'll be able to sell it. We're going to define the difference between this. Can you imagine this? There's a difference. Now, you suppose that boat knows the difference, or do you suppose the neighbors knows the difference? I don't think they will. It's almost a silly notion to talk like this. When you think about it, that's how I feel about it. That's my opinion.
Thank you. Are there any other comments before we take the vote?
No, I'm just glad that we have added that, because as a former marina owner, I can tell you that happens quite often. You have to put a lien on the boat and sell it at auction, and I hope that I want him to have that ability to do that. It's very important.
Point of clarification, there's nothing in this motion that would indicate that the boat would have to be sold at auction, correct, Mr. Griffin?
Well, in Maryland, that's how it's
done. It could be sold on site.
Not according to what I read.
Not according to what you read.
It's not restricted to, if he could sell it himself to satisfy the lien.
Okay.
Or it could be sold by through a court proceeding.
Whatever the law requires.
Very good. So it may be sold on site.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Any other questions? Mm-mm. We'll call the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Cole?
Sam, I'm with you there, buddy. It's unenforceable. It should be all or nothing. You just guys are wasting your time. Sam, a light bulb went off down there.
Was that a no?
That's a no. I'm with Sam. Put me in this Sam camp.
I vote yes. Motion carries.
Oh, come on.
I've lost a lot of time.
Are there other issues that the council has before we vote on this application as a whole? Mr. Cole?
No, I'm done.
You're done. Read the title and make mention of the modifications to the conditions.
The title is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a boat repair shop to be located in a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 1.2003 acres, more or less. And the motion would be to adopt this conditional use with the amendments previously voted on.
With the amendments voted on by council and the conditions by planning and zoning.
Yes.
Could someone make that
motion? I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
There is a motion and a second to adopt conditional use 1767 with the conditions by planning and zoning and the amendments offered by council, reducing the number of votes on site to 12 at any given time and allowing the owner to sell a boat to recover debt for services rendered. Mm-hmm. Is there any further discussion? If not, I'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson? Mr. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Cole?
I don't know why Sam voted no, but I'll have to give you some reasons why I voted. I'm going to vote also no.
It's unenforceable, George. It's unenforceable.
Quiet. The problem is, I think the applicant came in, and I had really no problem with what the applicant was trying to do because he said he didn't have any employees. He said he wasn't going to sell boats. He wasn't, you know, there's a lot of things he would keep it small, just he and his wife, like a mom-and-pop operation. That's what a conditional use is kind of geared for in these rural areas. And what happened is, number one, that the planning and zoning use here, this application for a business that is limited in nature. Well, it's no longer limited in nature because you got 12 boats now. It went from 15 to 12, still too much in a residential area. Boat sales shouldn't be happening. Two employees where he said he didn't even need any. I believe it will adversely, and that's the next sentence, with these conditions placed upon it, it will not adversely affect the traffic or adjacent neighboring properties. I think it will. The other thing is conditional uses can be bought and sold like any other piece of property, and it runs, the conditional use runs with the land. So the purpose, number two, the proposed use meets the purpose of the conditional use ordinance since it will serve the existing needs and convenience of boaters. Well, I don't know if the conditional use ordinance was to serve, you know, the convenience of boaters in a certain area. And I believe we just expanded on where it was limited. It's now become expanded. So, unfortunately, I think what his original thoughts were, I agreed with. But it's, I think, excessive at this point, so I'm voting no.
My vote is yes. I believe the application has addressed most of the concerns of the council as a body. The fact that no one appeared in opposition tells me that the operation is being run in a reasonable fashion. And if my math serves me right, that allows the motion to carry. CU 1767 passes.
Which one are we going to?
It looks like Nicholas and Joanne Verado was withdrawn.
Yes, it was. It was withdrawn.
And we have
23rd.
We have modified the agenda to allow Richard Poppleton to be next.
Come on down.
Next application is contained to zone number 1628, the application of Richard J. Poppleton to amend the comprehensive zoning map from a GR general residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, for land lying on the western side of Central Avenue, 350 feet northeast of Harmon Street, and being lot 24, block 1 of the George E. Shockley's land subdivision, to be located on 5,000 square feet, more or less. This application was also heard by the Planning and Zoning Commission during public hearing on January 22nd. I provide passed down copies of a packet of folders. Be careful because they're stapled, and they're mostly photographs with a couple letters of support from neighboring property owners. During the public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission on January 22nd, we heard were provided with the same folders with the photographs and support letters. We heard comments from DLDOT, the Sussex Conservation District. I read to the commission a reference to an application decision of the commission on the same parcel by the same applicant approximately a year and a half or 2 years ago. Mr. Poppleton was present and stated in his presentation, in response to questions raised by the commission, that Central Avenue is a gravel street in poor condition, that the site is located within the county sewer district, that he proposes to utilize the building as a contracting business for doing renovations on the first floor and as a residential unit on the second floor, that the rezoning and use would be compatible with the neighborhood, and that he has not heard any objections on his application at this time. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1628 for Richard J. Poppleton to amend the comprehensive zoning map from GR General Residential to CR1 Commercial Residential based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the project will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. Two, while Mr. Johnson is sensitive to the concerns expressed by neighbors in this community in the past, the project is in an area that is surrounded by C1 zoning. In fact, this property was originally zoned C1, but was rezoned to GR only so that a mobile home could be placed upon it. Three, this rezoning will make this parcel consistent with the others around it. There was a motion and a second carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for those reasons stated, and that motion carried 4-0. Again, I received one additional comment from agency, being the County Engineering Department, Planning and Permits Division. It makes reference to the applicant, the location, the size of the parcel, the system design assumption for this site, since it's in a sewer district, is one EDU per parcel. The site is within the West Rehoboth expansion area. A wastewater capacity may not be available. The sewer planning study assumption for the parcel is one equivalent dwelling unit, reflecting residential parcels in a residential subdivision. The County Engineering Department opposes this rezoning because of the potential for increased wastewater flow from commercial uses. The proposed commercial zoning and commercial use is located on residential lands not previously identified for commercial use by Sussex County Planning and Zoning. The proposed use does not conform to the comprehensive land use plan, and the capacity would be one EDU per parcel. In reference, there is a system connection charge credit of one for one EDU. The current system connection charge rate is $4,132 per EDU. In reference to location and size of laterals or connection points, they are to be determined by the county engineer. The parcel is presently served by 1 6-inch sanitary sewer lateral. A lateral upgrade at the owner's expense could be required. If the existing structure is to be removed, it must be properly disconnected, requiring a disconnection permit. Disconnection by county licensed plumber and inspected by the county, and makes reference to a contact person and phone number. In conformity to the West Rehoboth expansionary planning study would be required, and that a concept plan is not required. And again, it was signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. And that's all I have. Unless you have questions.
Are there any questions for Mr. Lank?
Mr. Lank, the concerns with the sewer district, right? And when it's a CR1 now on this parcel, and it says the applicant wants to put a contracting business on the first floor and then a residential unit on the second floor. Is that in compliance with the?
It could be in compliance. The difference would be that he couldn't be applying for multifamily use of the site unless he goes for a conditional use.
But it could have two units.
He could have a business with a residence above. but he could not have a multifamily structure for more than one.
Okay, but doesn't a commercial unit and a residential unit count as two? And
it's that would be a determination by the SOAR district. The one comment you read by this in reference to the SOAR district is the one equivalent dwelling unit, which is the EDU.
Right.
And then you read the second one, it tells you what the SOAR charge is and that they've got, would be required possibly to do an upgrade on their laterals. It doesn't say it's not possible. Mm-hmm. We've had that problem on some applications in the past. If you're looking at this site, there were originally four parcels rezoned from general commercial C1 to GR by one individual for the purpose of placing a mobile on each parcel. Mm-hmm. The two parcels to the rear were just rezoned in the last year for Todd Frischman for Envirotech,
right,
for their improvements, same or similar to the use proposed on this site. That's why the commission supported it. And then the other parcel, 1702, is probably subject to another application to put all four of them back into a commercial status.
Okay, but a permitted use would be the commercial and a residential unit is a permitted use?
Right.
Okay, because it meets the square footage and all those other things. Right? So how the engineering department would
looking
not
at their in one statement they made reference that it was never the proposed zoning and commercial use is located on residential land not previously identified for commercial use by the county.
Okay.
They went back a little further in the record, they would see that it was commercial. And it was, I forget the gentleman's name. I remember he worked for
so any upgrades,
Elder Cedar is the one that applied for those four to be rezoned for mobile.
And any upgrades would have to be paid for by the applicant?
Would have to be paid for by the applicant, and all the construction would be paid for by the applicant also.
All right. Okay.
Do any other council members have questions for Mr. Lang? If not, we'll ask the applicant to come forward. Please state
your name. Evening all.
State your name.
Richard J. Poppleton. I live in Alexandria, Virginia. Okay. And
speak more into that microphone so we can hear, everybody can hear you.
Richard J. Poppleton.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about your application, please?
Yes, I previously submitted, as you see, for each of you photos, a zoning map and letters of support from 14 of the nearby properties, including adjoining property owners, and a two-page letter explaining my case for change of zone. It's not extremely brief, and I'm sure you can read it much quicker than I could read it to you. But I'm surrounded by C1 zoning. I don't believe it's suitable at all for residential living, as you can probably surmise. It was C1 zoning until 97. I'd like to be consistent with the other properties, and there's a commercial property 5 feet from my property line. Those are my main reasons.
Mr. Griffin, do you have questions for the applicant?
I think I understand this application. This was when you were here before on the same.
I've been before two of you, I believe, and your staff. Yes, sir.
Since it's a change of zone, there really aren't any conditions you'd impose. He could, do.
It's either appropriate or it's not appropriate, right? Pretty much.
Okay.
Originally, the commission recommended approval when the council denied. There was a lot of participation came in from the West Rehoboth.
Correct. Are any of these letters from people who live there?
Let me see the name. No, they are not. They are not from anybody who lives there.
I drove by tonight and didn't see the sign, or this afternoon didn't see the sign, but I do see you have a picture of it being up, but I'm assuming it was up a while.
The sign lasted about a day before somebody chopped it up like a machete.
Oh, so it was only up for a day?
Well, the picture I took is missing a chunk of it.
Oh, okay.
Are there any other questions from the council? All right, we'll see if the public has anything to say about your application, if you want to take a seat.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here who would like to be heard concerning this application?
Again, anyone who wishes to be heard. Let the record show that no one asked to be recognized. Is it your pleasure we close the hearing?
Yes, sir.
We'll close the public hearing.
Does the council have any other thoughts before we ask our council to read the title? Okay, Mr. Griffin.
An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a GR General Residential District to a CR1 Commercial Residential District for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 5,000 square feet, more or less.
So we may properly fill the record. I ask the council to give reasons with your vote. Is there a motion to approve? I need a motion to approve so that we may...
I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve CZ 1628. I'll open the floor now for discussion. Ms. Deaver?
Yeah. I've got a question on how this affects the community of West Rehoboth and the people who live there. I don't know, I don't know. It seems to me it's pretty close to that area that it's great. There are a lot of people that are trying to rehab that community, and I hate to see it go more commercial.
Are there other comments from council, Mr. Vincent?
Well, looking at the pictures, it appears there's a lot of commercial stuff around the area there. I don't see any residences, so I went there to take the pictures, so I'm not going to say there. But I don't see any residences in any of these pictures at all, so it appears to me that it wouldn't make sense to do that. But that's...
Mr. Wilson, do you have a comment?
I take the same approach. I believe there's mostly all around there is nothing but commercial properties, all the surrounding area. The Planning and Zoning Board approved it 100%. I see no reason why we can't approve it.
Mr. Cole?
No question.
Okay, we'll take the vote now. Ms. Deaver?
No.
Please state your reasons.
And because this looks to me like a subdivision, and in my opinion, that particular area, and I've driven around through there, that area, yes, has a number of commercial uses, but it's right there where this site is, and it's also surrounded by residences. I think it's inappropriate.
Thank you. That's a no. Mr. Vincent?
I'll vote yes based on the recommendation of Planning and Zoning Commission and also the fact that it appears that most everything in the general vicinity right around there is, in fact, commercial.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes for the same reason that Mike Benson has voted yes.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes for the same reasons as the two previous councilmen stipulated.
I'll vote yes as well. This appears to be infill, which is appropriate use of our change of zone policy. Motion carries. I believe we are going to excuse council at this time, and we will call forward the next application.
The next application is change of zone 1627, the application of PGS Properties LLC to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, for land lying southeast of Route 26, 505 feet north or southwest of U.S. Route 113, to be located on 10.97 acres, more or less. For the benefit of council, I pass down exhibit booklets provided by the applicant. Everybody get one?
Sam doesn't get one.
Two one.
Where are we? Get one more coming. Everybody was saying. Here's the next one.
Again, the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on January 22nd of 2009. The commission received the same exhibit booklets. We heard comments from DelDOT, the Sussex Conservation District. We also received a letter from the town of Dagsborough in reference to this application and other proposed application of the applicant in the area. And requesting that the property be annexed into the town of Dagsborough. Preston Dyer of PGS Properties LLC was present on behalf of the application with Mark Davison of Design Consultants Group LLC and gave testimony. Mr. Dyer submitted proposed findings of facts, which I believe are in your booklet. There were no parties present in support of the application. Kyle Gobronson of URS was present as consultant to the town of Dagsboro and advised the commission that the town has been working with county engineering on the source study and that the town would like to see the site annexed into the town. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed the application and there was a motion and a second carried unanimously to defer action on this application. That was carried 4-0 and the commission has not yet met again to be able to act on this application. I did receive additional comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, making reference to this site application, location, and proposed use and size of a parcel. They make reference to a maximum number of units being 4 per acre. The site is located within the Dagsboro-Frankfort planning area. Wastewater capacity is available or will be available to the site. Ordinance 38 construction would be required. The current system connection charge rate is $5,828 per EDU. Service has not been extended to the area at this time. The project is capable of being annexed into the county sanitary sewer district, which is the Dagsboro-Frankfort sanitary sewer district. Conformity to the Dagsboro-Frankfort planning area wastewater report or undertaking an amendment would be required. Also notes in other comments that the parcel is within the Dagsboro-Frankfort planning area for sewer service and connection to the sewer system is mandatory. The parcel adjoins another area being considered for annexation by the same developer. Annexation into the district is possible following completion of certain administrative procedures. County has been in discussions with a developer regarding extension of sewer service to a proposed project on the parcel. It is anticipated the developer will extend service to the area and that there will be adequate capacity. However, before all of the needed capacity could be utilized, it will be necessary for the developer to complete additional phased upgrades. The proposed development will require a developer-installed collection system in accordance with the county standard requirements and procedures. County engineer must approve the connection point. County engineering department requires that a sewer concept plan be submitted for review and approval prior to requesting annexation into the Dagsboro-Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District. A checklist is provided for preparing conceptual plans, and there is a copy of the county policy and steps for extending sewer district boundaries. And a concept plan is required, and that was signed by John Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. I made reference in the County Planning and Zoning Commission comments to a correspondence from the town of Dagsboro. On February 3rd, Mr. Phillips, as President of Council, received an additional letter, and I believe he'd like for me to read that into the record.
Please.
Okay. Addressed to Mr. Vance Phillips and makes reference to PGS Properties in case number 1627. In summary, rather than reading it all. The town of Dagsboro would like to inform the Sussex County Council that the parcel of property you are being asked to rezone is contiguous to the town of Dagsboro and lies within our growth area as designated by our state-mandated comprehensive land use plan. Our state-approved comprehensive land use plan has shown this parcel for several years and, in fact, is recognized by PGS developers as they had requested annexation from the town of Dagsboro. In this request, the town did all required legal steps to annex this property and was ready to move forward. This application required a plan of services to be submitted to the state, after which the state recommended that the town of Dagsboro not annex the property due to the lack of the county's sewer capacity and to await the completion of the county's Dagsboro-Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District study. It is our understanding that the study is near completion. Over the past 18 months, the town has had some limited correspondence with PGS Properties, but the project has been inactive, as have been many development projects in our town due to the economic conditions. In March of 2008, PGS withdrew their request from our town, which we assume was for economic reasons, as none was stated in the letter. As the Sussex County Council is aware, a comprehensive land use plan requires thousands of dollars to implement. There are many public meetings that must be held and hundreds of man hours that are dedicated to research and solicitation of public opinion. After the town has utilized the services of lawyers, certified planners, and represented the will of the citizens, it must go before the state of Delaware for review and be accepted as a good and reasonable plan. People of Dagsboro would request that this body recognize its sovereignty and request the PGS properties continue its request for annexation and subsequent development through the town of Dagsboro. And as signed, sincerely, Wayne L. Baker, Mayor. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Does the council have any questions for Mr. Lank?
Basically, the synopsis is that Dagsboro wants to annex this site, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
That was my question, George.
Hmm? That was your question?
Took the words out of his mouth.
It scares me if we're starting to think alike.
We'll continue the public hearing if there's no other questions for Mr. Lank by asking the applicant to come forward and state their case.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of council. My name is Pret Dyer. I am a member of the applicant. I live at 29460 Cedar Neck Road, Ocean View. As Mr. Lank had indicated, the application is for 10.77 acres to CR1. Currently, there are 7.63 acres that are zoned C1. The front portion of the property, which is in fact a 500-foot strip that lies adjacent and running with 113. The property is at the intersection of 113 and 9-foot road. It was laid out originally for a larger neighborhood shopping center. The plan that you see before you this evening is a modification of that into four pad sites. Those pad sites consist, the first one of 2.59 acres, the second of 3.76 acres, the third 1.41, and the larger parcel being parcel 4 at 10.2 acres. The property is in the development district under the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. It is within level 2 for the state strategies for spending. As Mr. Lank has also indicated, we have been in correspondence with Sussex County Engineering for some time regarding sewer, and has been considered for Dagsboro Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District inclusion. The water system will be a private system on site to be operated by Artesian Water. There are no wetlands on the site, and there are no floodplains encumbering the property. Originally, a traffic impact study was done for a much larger project. That project consisted of approximately 41 acres of ground. The back portion, which would be to the west, that property has now been conveyed to High Tide Church. That 22 acres is not the subject of this application, and the church has plans at some point in the future to develop that particular property for a church. Therefore, we will have to revise our traffic impact study to accommodate the decrease in traffic from the anticipated traffic generation for the four pad sites. If the rezoning is granted, there will be a total of 18.4 acres of commercial property between the CR1 and the C1 zoning. At this point, I would like to ask Mr. Davidson of DC Group to review the character of the neighborhood and the appropriateness of this rezoning to CR1.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm Mark Davidson with Design Consultants Group in Milton, Delaware. Within the booklets that have been passed out under the commercial site plan section, there's a area map of some of the commercial area, commercial uses that are within the area of the site. On this map, I show a one-mile radius as well as a two-mile radius. And within those areas are some of the commercial activity that's in vicinity of this site. This property lies on the southwest corner of US 113 and 9-foot road. Immediately to the south of this piece of property is Dagsboro Plumbing and Electric, as well as Shore Water Refining. On the east side of this property, across 113, is the Royal Farms convenience store and gas station, as well as there's Mediacom Cable in the vicinity there. On the north side of this piece of property, we have the American Legion of Dagsboro, and we also have the Savannah Square Shopping Center, which is just to the north of this piece of property along 113. And to the west of this property is you have Allen's Hatchery right down the road, as well as, again, as Mr. Dyer stated, on the 20 acres immediately adjacent is the Lands for High Tide Church, which we've submitted, and we have site plan approval to begin the first phases of building a church there.
With regard to the issue of the town of Dagsboro, the application for annexation request was filed March the 11th, 2003. We withdrew that application request on March the 14th of 2008 in a letter to the then mayor. There are several factors that are affecting that. We have had other annexation requests where we were given the ability, if we chose, from the municipality to go forward with the annexation. It was in a different jurisdiction. Based upon our approval of the adequate facilities ordinance being the inability for services such as sewer to be offered. We understand that the town's position was that they desired, based upon our original petition, to annex the property. The difficulty at this point, and we're not preempting that as a possibility, we received a letter from Mr. Witzel, I assume the town solicitor, who suggested that it may be beneficial to consider annexation. And at some point we may consider that. There may be a need at some point to seek water supply from the town. But currently at this point we need to go forward based upon the reduction in the scale of the project given the current economic environment. We do believe that we have the ability to develop this project commercially as a scaled down version of what we originally sought. We think it's a viable project. However, we do need to make an economic analysis because the town has implemented certain ordinances that may or may not have an impact on the commercial viability of this particular project. Examples of that are rent structures where the town would impose rental taxes on commercial units. As you're well aware, that doesn't exist in the county, and that could have a detrimental impact upon the commercial viability. Additionally, there would be another set of taxes imposed as a result of being annexed into the town, and currently we're not in a position to really be able to evaluate the total impact of what an annexation would entail, which is why we withdrew our application. In your booklet is a proposed finding of facts, and I would just like to briefly review that. Again, the project is within the level two of state strategies for spending. It's also within the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan developing area. We will meet or exceed all of the DLDOT requirements that will be imposed upon the property. We also believe that the rezoning will not have any adverse impact or effect on the neighboring properties. And we think that given the proximity to the large amount of commercial activity, I believe there was another rezoning application on the north side of 9 Foot Road as well recently. We do believe that the existence of the 500-foot commercial corridor is certainly prima facie evidence of the appropriateness of this rezoning. There's the opportunity now for sewer, the ability for a water system to be operated, private water system to be operated by Artesian Water. And quite honestly, at this point, we just have begun the opening of a large center to the north, shopping center to the north, and we've seen the economic impact of that. We also would be very interested in being able to provide a similar type of opportunity on a smaller scale on this property to be able to generate revenue for Sussex County through the building permits, impact fees, inspection fees, and real estate taxes. Given its location and its proximity to a major artery, being 113, it is at a signalized intersection. And we also believe that based upon the scaled down version of this, that it will still be a viable project consisting of approximately 18 total acres of commercial. Based upon those factors, we respectfully request that you would act favorably upon this rezoning.
Questions from council, Ms. Deaver? The applicant?
But the town was willing to annex?
No, for 5 years, we didn't have any activity on it based upon there was a letter from the state that stated that there was not sewer, presumably sewer capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I never quite understood that because I always understood that the sewer was being provided by Sussex County and not by the town. I believe that the sewer district is the purview of Sussex County. And as I said, we had a similar situation in another jurisdiction. We didn't end up annexing in that jurisdiction, but it was our understanding that we could still go forward with the annexation if we agreed to the limitation.
You could.
Mm-hmm. of the thing. So,
but you objected to the rental tax that they imposed?
I didn't at that point. I that was subsequent to our application.
Okay.
Annexation. And I'm not sure the extent of those ordinances either. I don't want to represent that they currently exist because I don't really understand what was passed or what the impact would be.
Mr. Vincent, do you have anything?
No question.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Cole?
The in the old days, Brett, we used to always try to pry out of the applicant the need, why they thought there was a need for changing something from AR to whatever.
Sure.
And you, your other guy with facial hair over there said something about shopping centers in the area, and most of them are empty. The new one down the street is That's half right. empty, and across the street, the other one is empty. And how can you maybe say here tonight that
there absolutely is a need, and based upon our experience at Peninsula Crossing, which is a couple miles to the north, where we've just opened up BJ's, Lowe's, and several other pad sites, the demand for pad sites is quite good. The demand for smaller strip centers of the nature that we had talked about originally is less. And that is why we have divided this property into four pads with the opportunity to basically, as we've done many times on Route 1, we've done the pad sites first, and then with the critical mass being obtained as those pad sites are developed, to then be able to continue that development based upon the demand that's presented at that time.
Okay.
So I really do believe that this will be not only a viable project, but I do think that given the proximity to the successful project that we have to the north, which has done very well, that we have recognized that the pad sites are very viable and will create additional demand for.
What do you project? What kind of uses on those pads?
I think that what we're seeing is a lot of demand for food services, for restaurants, for convenience stores, for even offices of service type. Okay. And also, additionally, we've had conversations with different medical practitioners as well. The difference being that many times the users today prefer to buy the pad site, and as opposed to normally we lease those on a ground basis, and sometimes it gives them the option to then come in and build their own building and own it and then depreciate it and have the different positive aspects.
Okay, I don't know. To make sure the other councilmen or
the new people are aware that, but this is conceptual, right? So
right.
It could sit there and languish just because you couldn't find somebody who wants to, you know, work with you on one of these pad sites. So it could go back to a strip shopping center or whatever, or you could sell it and somebody could do whatever's
sure.
permitted, right?
Sure, that's exactly okay. right. And I think the other thing is, given the need to extend the sewer services for the county,
mm-hmm.
There is a critical mass of improvement that really does require a larger amount of commercial just to make it viable to pay for pump stations. Mm-hmm. As you're aware, you've built many of those yourself.
I haven't built any myself.
The county has.
County has.
Yes, you have. You've approved them.
I've approved.
And I think that is the overwhelming aspect of the need here is with the seven and a half acres. On the front, that there is a need to add the critical mass of the additional commercial to that to be able to afford to extend those sewer utilities.
Okay. That front part, which is C1, and you're going to keep it as C1, affords you the ability to do residential there up to 12 units per acre, correct?
That's correct, yes.
But you, at this time, have no interest in that?
No, I really don't. I mean, we were one of the ones that lobbied under the CR1 to provide that that distinction, but not at this point. Given the residential market as it is, I think
right.
commercial would certainly be the viability. Yes,
but it's a permitted use.
It would be, yeah.
And the C1 is also in the county.
That's correct.
And you could develop that independent of any zoning change here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And independent of any consideration for the town.
That's also correct.
The annexation issue is off the table when it comes to the development of that property.
That's absolutely correct. And I could develop the AR in the back as well.
Okay.
But not under permitted uses for commercial, but I could develop it as AR as well in the county.
So technically, the property zoned in question, being zoned tonight, that's in question, is not really contiguous to the town because it is separated by a different zoned property.
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have anything else, Mr. Dyer?
No, I don't.
All right. Any more questions from council? If not, we will invite the public for their opinion. And we will start by asking anyone in support of this to come forward. And seeing none, we'll ask anyone in opposition or that has another position.
Good evening. My name is Kyle Gilbronson. I'm a senior resource planner with URS Corporation. I'm here tonight on behalf of the town of Dagsboro. And I guess it's interesting for me because the town of Dagsboro is not in opposition to this project moving forward. The town's concern is that the The property is located in the primary annexation area for the town. The town had gone through the process to annex this property several years ago. Went through the state process, through the PLUS process, through the Office of State Planning Coordination. Through that process, received a letter from the town, or from the state, rather, stating that the town should not take action on the property because of sewer capacity issues with the county sewer service in the Dagsboro-Frankfort Sanitary District. At that time, the county had been going through a planning process to add additional capacity to that district. They are completing that study now, as you're aware, and it, as indicated from the letter from the county, that capacity most likely is there for this property or for this project. The town's concern is that this property basically is in the center of the town's area along Route 113. Should this property not be annexed into the town of Dagsboro, it would make expansion of the town, as indicated by the county and the town's growth plan, would be difficult for additional annexations to take place on the western side of 113. I know Mr. Dyer has concerns about some of the additional policies and fees that have been enacted by the town. The town has enacted impact fees since this project was first initiated with the town, which would be an issue. But the town's concern is that we have a memorandum of understanding with the county. In that memorandum, it states that the county and the town will work well together when these projects come forward in the growth areas affecting both communities. The town would like to have that dialogue with the county because we know there are several other properties just to the south of this property that are going to be before you soon for annexation or for, rezoning and possible development. We would just like to have dialogue with the county about these projects as they come forward so that, you know, the best case scenario for both the county and the town can move forward. And basically that's the town's concern. We'd like to have that dialogue. We'd like to have that dialogue with Mr. Dyer and the county government as well.
Okay.
Is your county, your city's growth plan the same as our county's growth? Do they jive?
They jive.
They jive.
The difficulty we get into it is the town's dates of revision are different from ours. Their plan may change as they do updates.
Yeah, for this particular property in general, this property was in the town's primary annexation area. We just went through the comprehensive planning process, which is before the state now with our update. Mm-hmm. It still is in that primary annexation area. I believe in the county plan, do you have this area designated as town center?
That's what we normally do.
Right.
Okay. That's the first possible land to go into annexation. Mm-hmm.
And from the town's perspective, you know, the mayor's issue is that towns are required to go through this planning process as the county is. And his difficulty is if we're not going to follow those plans in terms of annexation and growth and structures of towns. You know, it's a lot of effort, a lot of money put in. I know this plan cost the town quite a bit of money. It was a pretty large percentage of the town's annual budget. And his concern is that they've gone through this planning process and they'd like to see everyone else follow that process.
Here, I got a question for you.
Please, Mr. Clark.
Sure. Do you feel that if this parcel, let's say the county approves this parcel, mm-hmm. that it would set a precedent for other county approvals without annexation being part of the picture?
I think it could.
This could be?
Definitely could be.
Okay.
So and I know that you're in process of establishing memorandums of understanding with municipalities in the town. So this coordination takes place and the dialogue takes place before decisions are made.
Ms. Deaver, do you
think
have
it could.
No, I'm just very interested in that, in the dialogue between the town and the county and this property. I'm wondering if we really should.
We will be deferred.
We can't do anything.
Yeah, that's right. We don't. Yeah, I'm glad we.
Well, I know that the dialogue that has taken place. I mean, the county did send notification to the town, announcing the public hearing before the planning commission.
Right.
Mr. Baker.
Yes, thank you. We do have a meeting scheduled with the town on February 18th at 1 o'clock for this particular issue with Mr. Lank and myself, and I think Mr. Dyer is attending, I believe. In the town, so.
Is that the dialogue moment that you desire?
I believe so.
Okay.
That's the start of the conversation.
All right. Mr. Vinson, have you anything?
You're an old town councilman, aren't you?
Yeah. I understand the town wanting them to be in there. I haven't got a question, I got a statement, I guess. I'm not sure that, I think I'm correct in this. I understand the town's view. And while I might sympathize with that, I think I'm correct in stating or thinking that the party that's outside the town mm-hmm. has to request to be annexed in the town.
Correct.
The town just came there and just pick you, say, we're going to make you a town member. All of a sudden, there you are. So I guess my concern is, knowing where the town's coming from, mm-hmm. if the individual chooses to not ask for annexation, where that kind of leaves everything.
Mm-hmm. And that's a valid question.
I mean, because obviously, as the president asked a while ago, I mean, looking at the book they gave us, I mean, the way the highway is zoned right now, they could build someone there tomorrow if they chose to, I guess.
Right.
And I mean, it would be good if somehow that could be worked out in this dialogue that
right.
Everybody could be whole and happy and whatever.
Sure. And I think, you know, through that dialogue and through the process, I know Mr. Dyer had applied several years ago, and I know the town has, as they should be, have updated their ordinances and have set impact fees and things that are necessary to run a town government. You know, the dialogue could take place through the annexation process that, you know, possibly these fees, since his application had been set so many years in advance, that some adjustments could be made to that. I don't know. I'm not speaking for the town.
No, that would be probably a good point to start.
Okay. Mr. Wilson, have you anything?
Well, I sort of agree with Mike Vincent here on this. Also think that maybe if you really want to get him in, that you maybe kind of put the carrot out there and see if you can't ooze him back in and say that this is what you ought to do and make it his worthwhile or
right.
maybe give in somewhere or there. Mm-hmm. But other than that, that's my question.
Okay. If there are no further questions, well, thank you very much.
And thank you.
It appears that that dialogue will be on the 18th of February?
Yes.
Is there anyone else that would like to make comment on this before we close the public hearing? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing.
Make a motion we defer.
Yes.
Is there any interest in keeping the record open? Okay, we'll close the public record and I will accept Mr. Cole's motion to defer. Is there a second?
Yes.
I have a motion and a second to defer this application. Is there any further discussion? If not, I'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Wilson? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Thank you very much. I have one more thing for the council, if I could indulge them.
Thank you.
There was one additional executive item that was not discussed, and I'd like to ask for a motion to go back into executive session for potential or pending litigation.
So move you.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to return to executive session. If there's no questions, Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Yeah,
you're wearing me out. You're wearing me out.